Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On this week's show, we're going to talk about an interesting tool called MathTrax that has actually been around for some time, but we just found out about. And this tool can be used for learning about graphs and data and visualizing that for people who can't see it.
We'll be talking with Bob Shelton, the developer of MathTrax, about its capabilities, and he'll be giving us lots of demonstrations. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is learning and using math doesn't have to be any harder for a blind or low vision person than it is for anybody else. You just need the right tool.
Well, I used quite a bit of mathematics as a research physicist at Xerox, and you're right. I mean, I couldn't always use conventional paper and pencil, but you find other ways of working with mathematics and doing it depending on what job you need to do. This MathTrax tool is a great way for people to understand what graphs look like, to hear data sets as they're represented on the screen, but you might need other tools like doing symbolic math, numerical math, and there's all kinds of tools out there, so you just need to research it and find out which tool is appropriate for the kind of work you need to do.
But this week's show will be talking about MathTrax. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Bob Shelton. Can you start by introducing yourself?
Yes, my name is Bob Shelton. I work for NASA. I used to work in their educational office developing educational technology of various sorts.
And NASA, for our international listeners, is the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
Yes, that's correct. NASA is actually my second career. I was a university professor for 12 years or so before I came back to work for NASA.
What did you teach?
Mathematics primarily, and that was the 80s, so occasionally they needed people to fill in computer science.
So now you're visually impaired yourself, is that right?
I'm now just effectively a totally blind.
And have you always been blind, or was this a progressive state?
I lost most of my usable vision when I was 11 years old. I had congenital glaucoma, and as you probably know, the treatment for that, especially back in the 60s, was lots and lots of surgery. The blindness was a result of surgery.
So how did you acquire the skills, braille, mobility skills, and otherwise? Were you mainstreamed back then?
I was mainstreamed back then, and that was over the objections of just about everybody. I was just going into junior high at that time, and the normal trajectory was to pack you off to the state residential school, and my parents decided that that wasn't going to be my course. And as it turned out, it actually was probably a blessing for me. I was not a very good student. Not because I couldn't learn, but I just didn't care to do most of the stuff that the school system wanted their students to do. But what I could do was listen to stuff and understand it and prove that I understood it by taking tests. And suddenly, when I lost my vision, they didn't care if I organized my desk properly or not. As long as I kept doing well on tests, everything was hunky-dory. So it completely changed the game for me.
So did you learn Braille on your own and cane lessons?
No, there was a local agency in Dallas, and I went over there for a month the summer after my seventh grade year and learned to read Braille. I'm not a particularly good Braille reader, but I do read grade 2 Braille.
So do you do most of your computer programming with speech or Braille or both or what?
I'm almost exclusively speech. I have used Braille in the past extensively. Back before speech was commonly available, we modified a printer and wrote a code that would dump my computer listings off in very kind of funky Braille, but it was still Braille, and that was extremely useful during the time I had to do that.
That's one of the benefits of being a good programmer, is you can write programs to benefit yourself.
I actually wrote my own speech synthesis system for the Commodore 64 with the help of my wife and kids back in the 80s.
Boy, that must have been something. The Commodore 64 could barely add and subtract.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is MathTracks, a program that Bob Shelton developed under the auspices of NASA. And this program is designed to help high school and middle school students learn science and math concepts, and with a particular emphasis on students who are either blind or low vision. It's won a number of awards in 2006 and 2007 when it was new. And it's a really terrific tool and is currently considered to be the premier software for teaching mathematics to blind people and to people with mathematics learning impairments.
And did you mention that it's freely available? Not bad.
Now let's learn what MathTracks is and what it can do.
So we wanted to talk to you today about a system that you helped develop for making math accessible through listening. Can you tell us what MathTracks basically is?
Yeah. One of the things that blind kids typically do have problems with is the graphical part of mathematics. With Braille and good teaching and other techniques, doing the symbolic manipulation is the kind of thing they can do pretty well. But the big showstopper in many cases is understanding what these graphs look like. So the goal originally with MathTracks was not so much to produce sound exactly, but was to produce natural language text descriptions of graphs, very much like what a human would produce. The sound was an add-on for later.
Oh, that's interesting. So you get both textual feedback and this kind of audio shape of the graph.
And you get visual feedback, too, if you can see it. I think we are around 2 or 3 million downloads of MathTracks now. I lost access to the statistics years ago, but it was well over 1 million at that point, and that was like 5 years ago. Not all of those people are blind.
How did MathTracks get started?
I was asked to speak at a residential school for the blind. This was before I was in education. I was in a technical software development organization, and there was a national lab where I was asked to speak. One of our hosts asked if I would spend an hour or so at the state school and talk to the kids. After the talk was over, there were a group of students who were standing around and asking questions, and I was very happy about that. I had my little laptop with JAWS and was showing them how I wrote code, and they had been in little back rooms trying to cobble together old computer equipment and old C compilers to teach themselves C code. I was very impressed with this. And so as ultimately we walked out of the building, I was talking to the counselor and I said, you know, these kids, we really would like to hire them as co-ops when they go to college. Be sure they know how to do that. And she said, I don't think any of those kids are going to college. I don't think it's a possibility. And I said, why? And she said, because I can't get the people here to teach them algebra. And I thought about that for about 6 months. And when it came time to write a proposal for our grant money, that's what I decided to do.
So that's how MathTracks was born, was so that you could enable this entire crop of students at the School for the Blind to learn math.
I just thought that that was a tragedy because those kids were plenty bright. There was nothing wrong with their ability. What was wrong with them is they just got dealt a crummy, crummy hand. They were as smart as I was when I was their age, but I had every opportunity. Their future was essentially foreclosed, and I didn't know how many more kids were like that.
And when was this?
I spoke at the school at 2001. It was just after 9/11.
So how did this project start? Was this your sole job to put this together, or did you start out with a team developing the code?
We had a team, and we had been developing educational software for a long time. I was in a technical organization, but we were funded out of a NASA headquarters program that was sponsoring development of innovative internet applications for education. And so we developed an online robotics workshop and all kinds of stuff in the 90s. This was just the next thing we did. It was a huge, huge departure from anything we had tried to pitch before, and our sponsors loved it. They backed it. And as I said, we've had millions of downloads, free downloads, I might add.
So can you give us an overview of how this works? I assume someone is putting together some data, they graph it somehow, and then they want to use this program to visualize the graph or understand what it's like.
Let me see if I can just demonstrate it. I've got it up here, and let's see if the sound holds out and gives you something that you can use.
O tab, math tracks, use left and right arrow keys to access math tracks tab panels, use tab key to move within tab panels, frame, equation input group box, enter or select an equation for graphing, edit combo closed, y equals x, 3 of 27, insert F1 help.
Basically, I tabbed over to math tracks and I'd left an equation in the text entry area where you just type in an equation, and I had already typed in y equals x, which is kind of the world's simplest equation. And I'm going to shortcut over to the description.
Control D, graph description, read only, edit, insert F1 help. Such that dash it equation, your input equation is y equals x, the graph of the equation is a line. It rises at a 45 degree angle from left to right with a slope of 1. The graph has an inclination of 45 degrees or approximately 0.785 radians. The x-intercept is 0. The y-intercept is 0. The ascending region is left brace x such that dash infinity less x.
You get the idea.
And that's all generated automatically.
Yes, it is. There is a fairly substantial amount of AI and computational intelligence that does that. For simple equations, the software parses them up and matches them to forms that it knows about, which is quite a wide variety of forms, pretty much anything that a student will encounter in high school. And then for things that are not of that form, it applies some rules, it does some tests, and ultimately still synthesizes a description.
So could you demonstrate something that, while almost as simple of an equation, would be a more complicated graph like y equals sine of x?
Sure. That was actually on the agenda. Now, that's one it doesn't really know about, so you're going to get the fall-through explanation on y equals sine of x. But let's do that.
Control E, equation input group box at y equals space, sin, left paren, x, right paren, enter.
Okay. The description is going to be kind of monotonous. It's not as good, but let's go ahead and do it.
Control D, graph this. Your input equation is y equals sin left paren x right paren. The y equals sin left paren x right paren curve has the following characteristics. The portion of the graph in the visible window consists of a single continuous graph. The curve falls from a boundary point at the point left paren minus 10, 0.544 right paren to a local minimum at the point. Minus 7.863 minus 1 right paren rises to a local maximum at the point left paren minus 4.725. 1 right paren falls to a local minimum at the point left paren minus 1.586 minus 1 right paren rises to a local maximum at the point.
You get the idea. It's just basically telling you about rises and falls, which for a sine curve, that's pretty much it.
And what does that sound like when you put it through the sonification?
Control S, play sound sleep button, insert F1 help.
Now, you're not going to get stereo, but you do have stereo. So what happens, just to give you an idea how this works, there is a vertical line which sweeps across the screen from left to right. And wherever the curve touches that line, a pitch is generated. So let's just do that.
Space R. Play sound sweep.
So there are a couple of things going on there. You're hearing the intercepts with those little beeps as it crosses the x-axis. the little hissing sound you hear is when it's below the x-axis, it hisses. And I think of it as like, you think of it as a hot bullet that's falling into water. And that gives you a little bit of an orientation as to where things are on the screen. And those are bells and whistles that can be turned off or on. But that's the sonification that we do.
So let's listen to the sonification of the sine wave again, now that Bob's just explained what we're hearing.
Space bar. Play sound sweep.
Now that is really cool. Can we try another equation?
That can be done with much more interesting kinds of curves. And if you like, I would be happy to show you one and see if you can guess what it is.
Okay, I guess we'll take the quiz.
This is almost cheating, but let's just try it anyway.
X caret 2 plus space y caret 2 equals space. Ba 2. 36. Enter.
We'll look at the description later.
Control S. Play sound sleep. Space. Pause.
Silence. I don't know if that came through real well on the Skype, but there are two tones there simultaneously. Remember I said everywhere that the curve touches that vertical sweep, you get a tone. So you start off with silence, and then all of a sudden you, well, let's do it again.
Space, pause.
Any guesses?
Space, sound, sleep.
Well, actually, we cheated. I heard you type it in, but it's very descriptive in an audio fashion in terms of hearing, sounds like two curves. One is going up and then down, and the other one's going down and up,
mm-hmm.
like the top and bottom of a circle.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have muted it while I was typing in the equation.
Let's hear the written description.
Okay, let's do that.
Control D, practice. Your input equation is x caret 2 plus y caret 2 equals 36. The graph of the equation.
Okay, the one thing, that caret, that is, we have this horrible slangy syntax for equations, which we do describe, but exponents are denoted like x caret 2 is x squared. So,
is a circle. The center is at left paren 0, 0 right paren. The radius is 6. The x intercepts are minus 6, 6. The y-intercepts are minus 6, 6. It is a closed curve. The equation is a conic section. The domain of the equation is left brace x such that minus 6 less equals x less equals 6 right brace. The range of the equation is left brace y such that minus 6 less equals y less equals 6 right brace.
Now, you also mentioned that if we had had stereo, we'd hear these things a little differently. Is there any additional information that's imparted to the user by using the stereo effect?
Yeah, as the source of the sound moves, or at least the virtual thinking of the source of the sound, whether it's the intersection of the vertical sweep with the curve or the little roller thing goes around the screen, its left-right position is keyed into the stereo.
Oh, that's very nice. You get an additional cue of how far you are along the x-axis from left to right.
So this is really cool. Can you demonstrate one more equation, please?
The other one that's kind of interesting.
R equals sin left paren 3 star theta right paren.
This is a polar equation, okay?
Oh, so instead of doing this in Cartesian coordinates, you're going to graph this in polar coordinates.
When it sees the variables it looks for are x and y or r and theta. And if it sees r and theta, it says it's probably polar.
So it picks the coordinate system appropriately to the variables.
Yep, we don't want kids to have, this is hard enough without making them think of, you know, having to press buttons gratuitously.
Control D, graph description.
Okay, let's see if the graph description worked.
Your input equation is R equals sin left paren 3 star theta right paren. The graph of the equation is a polar rose. The graph consists of three petals located symmetrically about the origin. The length of each petal is 1. The petals are oriented at angles of 30 degrees, 150 degrees, and 270 degrees from the positive x-axis. The petals are symmetric, about lines extending from the origin to the points left paren 0.866, 0.5 right paren, left paren minus 0.866, 0.5 right paren, and left paren 0, minus 1 right paren. lag.
And the sound also is different for this too, because the whole idea of having that line go across, it's going to be crossing so many places you couldn't possibly keep track of it. So we kind of cheat.
Control S, play sound, sleep button, insert F1L.
And here you really do need the stereo.
Space on. Play sound, sleep.
I figure you guys pretty much know what those look like anyway, but did you notice it traced the curve twice?
Yeah, and it sounded like it was actually sonifying the, if that's the right verb, the curve in polar coordinates rather than having a vertical line sweeping across in XY.
That's correct. And it also has, visually, it shows a little bug running around the curve.
So we obviously don't have time for you to demonstrate every kind of equation that MathTrax can handle. Can you just describe some of the other types of equations that it can do?
It will do any conic section. It'll do any linear equation. It'll do most polynomial or rational functions. You do not have to solve for y as you would with a lot of, graphing calculators. You can put in the equations as you see them in the book. You can put in equations that have parameters in them, such as A, B, C, and D. So you can actually enter the equations just like they appear in the textbook, and you can vary the parameters.
Great. Thank you so much. So now, we actually did a prior show on audio graphing, basically sonification, and that was number 1248, and that included some examples of all manner of geological effects as sonified. That was a lot of fun to listen to as opposed to kind of standard algebraic equations.
Yes, those audio graphs were done by Dave Engelbertson, who was a geologist and applied sonification techniques to his geological data when he was studying those things. They're very interesting. Some of them are very pretty also. They're almost symphonies in their own right. In that show, we also featured the audio graphing calculator, which is software used to listen to graphs and graphical data made by ViewPlus Technologies. So if you're interested in some other tools for understanding graphical data, you should listen to that show.
Now for this week's high-tech segment, how to get MathTrax, how to work on improvements to MathTrax, and some final words from Bob Shelton.
Well, Bob, I was wondering what you ascribe the success of MathTrax to.
We're trying to make this stuff as dynamic as it possibly can be. I've taught math off and on for years and years, and one of the things that I think students, whether they can see or can't see, have trouble with is they look at a static picture and they don't associate it with dynamics. And so in order to bring this to people who can't see, we have to cheat and use time as another variable. And I think that is in great part what's responsible for how effective this is that connection between, say, a sloping line and something that's changing with time is lost if they just look at the graph. That's just my opinion. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't have any data to back that up. But I know that when people look at it, I see ahas, whether they can see or they can't.
Oh, I'll bet. I mean, first of all, it's kind of nice that it gives you a very nice and detailed description in text exactly what the curve is like. And then the audio effects just increase that even more so you can get a feel for what the graph is actually looking like.
So I don't know if you've tried working with sighted kids with MathTrax, but just to let you know, so Pete's visual history is very much like yours, complete with the congenital glaucoma and the story with all the surgeries and, you know, when he lost his vision, but I can see just fine. And the thoroughness with which MathTrax is describing these graphs could be a really great learning tool even for sighted kids, because you talk to so many sighted kids, well, what does the graph look like? Oh, I don't know. Or, gee, there's a line that goes up, but you know, having them listen to the Math Tracks description could help them understand what's going on in the graph as well as how to describe it properly.
Obviously, we haven't had the resources to follow up on this once, as with many things that NASA does. Somebody would very likely say, well, why does NASA even care about this? And, you know, how come you guys are spending the taxpayers' money to do this? And that's a very valid question. You know, we're in the business of launching rockets, and the only reason this got done was there were some far-sighted people, and we had a pretty good track record with them, and they gave us a chance to do it. But the problem with this is that we don't really have the resources to keep this up, and as such, we've turned it over to the open source community, and there are people now who are trying to build off of it, even including some projects to include this with ebooks.
So there's a great opportunity for us to ask you, where would one go on the web if they just wanted to use Math Tracks? And furthermore, where would they go if they wanted to participate in the open source project?
It's pretty easy. There is a URL. It's prime, like prime rib or prime number, .jsc.nasa.gov. That was and still is the project website for everything that we did. It's almost a ghost town now, but there is a Math Tracks section, and then there is an MDE, which stands for Math Description Engine section. They're both prominently displayed on the front page. So prime.jsc is in Johnson Space Center, .nasa.gov.
So my understanding is that someone can download the working code from that site and actually use this tool. But you can also, because of the open source nature, incorporate some of the source code into applications that other people might be developing. Is that right?
Exactly. The application itself is downloaded as a Windows, modern Windows systems. I updated it for 64-bit Windows Christmas a year ago. And there is also a Macintosh version available, which is somewhat out of date. Works on a Mac just fine with VoiceOver, by the way. And then there is the MDE, or the Math Description Engine section of the site. You can download a library that contains all the functionality for graphing, description, and sonification.
Well, that's great to see that this tool is so useful and actually being used these days, many years after its development.
Yep, I think the taxpayers got their money's worth.
Well, it must make you feel good also.
It does. It really does. It's probably one of the most relevant things I've ever done.
I also wanted to point out that although we didn't have time to demonstrate this here, there are also features in Math Tracks that allow the program to sonify tabulated data, like a series of XY positions. So you can look through the documentation after you download the program to learn how those utilities work.
And as usual, if you missed any of the links that we gave or that Bob gave, they will all be in the show notes associated with this show. And you can find that at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. That's it for show number 1326. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the MAMOMI Initiative's work to make the visual arts accessible with its founder and head, Andrew Mashigo. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.